This is All Things Therapy, where we are changing consciousness one conversation at a time. And I'm Lisa Tahir, your host.
Hello there. Welcome to All Things Therapy podcast. I am so stoked to be with you today. In a few minutes, I have a friend coming on the show. He is the host of the Green Pill podcast. I was a guest recently. Alex Shenkorovsky is a health coach. He really wants to help you optimize your health in every way, fitness and nutrition, with some really supportive accountability. And y'all know if you listen, health and wellness, it's my wheelhouse, mental health, physical health, spiritual health. So Alex is joining us today in a few moments. So you know who's on the show today. And I just want to direct you to my website. If you're interested in finding a therapist to work with, I do Zoom and phone sessions, nolatherapy.com. Go there to learn more about my work. Reach out for a 20-minute call to see if we're a good fit. And I'd love to support you in that way. Okay, Alex, I'm going to bring you into the stream as I continue to introduce you. Hello.
Hey, folks. Hey, Lisa.
How are you today?
So excited to be on with you. Just a couple of weeks after we shot our Green Pill podcast, and we really got into your background and your work. So thank you for bringing me on.
No, you're welcome, Alex. I'm so excited for you to share more of your story because it's really deep and it's really transformative for people. You are a health and wellness professional. However, you have done the work of healing your own wounds, your own experiences, and you're really passionate about helping impacting people's health journey in a positive way. And I wondered if you could start by sharing some of it. Was there a moment that you started to feel into like your life experience, something's going to come of this, like I'm going to help people, like this is transforming?
When it really struck me that this is what I want to do for my work. You know, I was at my first job out of college in New York City. I had graduated a year early, so I think I was 20 or 21 years old working at a big company in New York City. And every day I would go in and go, I don't really like this. And I was getting lunch with a friend, and he said, well, why don't you try that corporate yoga thing? I said, oh, that idea where I go into offices and teach yoga? He's like, yeah, why don't you do it? I said, oh, okay. Yeah, exactly. And within 2 weeks, resigned. They said, oh, we want you to stay. You know, if you want to come back anytime, you know, so there's no downside risk. I could leave. I could come back. All of a sudden, I was 21. I had some money I saved up, and I was calling everybody I knew to teach yoga. So I did a one-month teacher training, and the rest is history.
Okay. Wow. I didn't realize that's how you started, was teaching yoga.
Yeah. And there's a lot more that happened after that, which I can get into. So I started by teaching yoga in college, actually, when I was maybe 19, and did some training there. And that was really enjoyable. And I really got a lot of satisfaction just after the class, everyone's smiling faces coming up to me, thanking me. And then I went back to the finance world. And I said, oh, but, you know, this is my profession. And then when that moment struck at my first job, I quit. I started another yoga teacher training for 3 or 4 weeks, very intensive in New York City, and then just started building my website and calling everybody I knew. And that first couple of years I had, you know, some really, really outstanding big companies and some smaller companies that brought me in to teach yoga. And then I started hiring instructors. And then there was definitely some detours and journeys around the way to get to where I am today as a health coach, where I really help individuals just feel okay in their body. So, you know, get from where they want to be, from where they are to where they want to be. So, it does really circle on emotional health and mental health though. I think that's what our life is about.
And, you know, I know you have training in advanced functional medicine. You brought in the yoga, health coaching, fitness training. And also what really spoke to me is when I came on the Green Pill podcast and you shared about growing up in a family where your mom had mental illness and passed away when you were 17. And I can't imagine what, you know, that was like for you to find your way. And I wondered how you did that.
So my mom, you know, I grew up Well, let me share where I grew up. So outside the suburbs of Philadelphia, you know, big houses, cul-de-sacs. My parents were immigrants from Ukraine. So they left in the 70s. And so by the time I was born in the early 90s, just dating myself a bit, they had been there for maybe not even 20 years. And so I was first generation. And that made an interesting juxtaposition to most of my friends whose families had been there for a while. And, you know, I was more of kind of an immigrant kid, but, you know, I was also born here. And that colored my early life a lot. And I was really adjusted. I had all my friends and I was really tight with them. And I was really grateful for where I grew up because I was able to play outside. I had everything, you know, it was very privileged, great school, all that stuff. Yeah. That was great. You know, at the same time, my mom was schizophrenic and undiagnosed, essentially. I mean, she wouldn't go to doctors. You know, she could think she could read my thoughts and my sister's thoughts. Mm. Man, lots of things that, you know, just would only be familiar if you know that disease. And that disease really entails folks imagining and being in psychosis, where a lot of things that aren't really happening, they believe are happening. And so she was a really sweet mother and really amazing. And I love her so much and I miss her, you know, since she passed away when I was 17, but that was just my reality growing up the whole time. And so you asked me, how did I get through her passing? I mean, for the last few years before she had passed away, I would see her maybe once every couple months. We would talk on the phone every month or every few weeks. She wasn't someone that had any contact really outside me or her family because she was not very social. You know, her disease really made her afraid and paranoid.
Yeah.
So when I got the call that she got sick, you know, I really got upset, of course, and I kind of knew something like this would happen one day. And it, you know, I remember getting the call, writing in my friend's call, and I get the call that, you know, she got picked up by the police because she was anemic and was driving like poorly and taken to the hospital. She was bleeding. And I just slammed my fist on the side of the car because something in me knew, like, wow, this tragic thing finally happened because she wasn't well. You know, so she had a pretty bad stage 4 cancer diagnosis, you know, 3 months in the hospital. You know, that means me and my sister driving 2 hours back and forth. But, you know, we took care of all her stuff, like her house, her bills, her doctors, her social worker. My sister and I took care of all that. My dad was supportive. My grandma was supportive. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, she was so sick, she wasn't going to recover. And so we took her to hospice. She agreed to go to hospice. And, you know, in one respect, I look back at that time, those last 3 months of my mom and my sister and my grandma supporting her. And I'm really touched because we had never been that close since my parents had divorced when I was 12. And so how did I get through that? Well, luckily my stepmom and my dad and my sister were all really supportive. And, you know, of course, I partied a lot being 17, 18, trying to just get that energy out of me. I ran track my senior year after she had passed away, and I was extremely fast, like set records for the school. I don't know what got into me. You know, I wasn't that good before that. And that, you know, I partied a lot. And then finally I found yoga in college and something switched in me. I said, okay, I guess I'm not going to take my own life. I guess I'm going to live and enjoy it. You know, I'm going to feel great. I'm not going to be depressed, right? I'm 18 years old. I want to live. I want to thrive. Mm-hmm. And so I turned towards health and I got really, really, really into my own health and the health of the people around me. And that was really history. So I found health as the way to get through what I went through.
You know, I'm feeling this deep compassion and really touched by the kindness, by the love that you're able to, as you share your story and these events that were painful, just the love you have for your mother and just the compassion and the empathy and even going through something so challenging and being young, finding, you know, just the way you speak, there's such a beautiful energy to this story. And I really appreciate it. Like, I feel it in my heart.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm really telling it from the heart.
You really are.
People, you know, people need to hear these stories because everyone's going through something in their family and not everyone knows where to turn, you know, and I really benefited so much from people like you as I went through that. So therapy was a big support for me while my mom was sick and afterwards and while I was in college. I mean, twice a week, once a week. So yeah. I was in grief support groups when I was in college. So I really sought out help. I mean, I'm really
You really did.
yeah, I'm someone that really trusts to find answers, you know?
Yeah.
So that was a big part of it. But it was cathartic, you know, in a way. I mean, she was so sick my whole life and I miss her so much. And also she's in a better place because she was really suffering.
When you shared a part of the story, when I was on your show and I mm-hmm. thought back to my mom, we're in a good place now, but when I was in high school, she had serious addiction to alcohol and to amphetamines. And there was a time, like, I didn't know that she would be in an amphetamine induced psychosis. And when I heard you just talk about your mom, like the psychosis and the fear and the paranoia and things, like, I didn't know. I wasn't, you know, I was young. I just was like, oh my gosh, what is going on? Like, something felt so wrong and it was so scary and it was unpredictable. Her rages and coming in my room at 2 a.m., flicking the light on and throwing all the clothes out my drawers and saying, now pick all this shit up. And, you know, things that were just like, I didn't really talk about it because I'm like, I don't think this is happening in other people's houses. And it was just, you know, I just did it. I just cleaned up and moved on. And it wasn't until I finished college, was 21, and realized I had a bunch of emotional like issues, just depression and anxiety and addiction. And I was like, I cannot let myself be like her. You know, I don't, like, I knew I needed some help and, you know, my mom didn't seek it. And like, so I did and started therapy mm-hmm. at 21. And for me, health became, I remember I started working out at 21. I worked in a restaurant and a lot of the guys that were the waiters, we went to the same gym and they would help me. They would teach me how to use the machines and spot me with free weights. And I found like my body being strong, I saw as a parallel to my mind, and my body got stronger faster than my mind. Like, that's taken more work, the mental health and the emotional health, but like I haven't given up either. So I really appreciate your story, Alex. Like, I feel you.
And I thank you so much for acknowledging me and giving me a place to share this story, because I think it's so important for others. And I'd love to also hear what made you flip that switch when you're 21, that, because you look, I don't know, you looked in the mirror and said, wow, I have all these things going on. I don't feel stable. I don't feel good. So I don't know if you'd like to share that on another podcast too.
Absolutely. I'd love that. Yeah. And much like you, just really knowing and the part of me believing, like I sent you, like there's better for me. And like, mm-hmm. I'm going to find that. I'm going to be about that. And just, mm-hmm. you were so diligent to even, you know, just reach out and like find your health, find your healing. And I think people really have to want to feel better sometime, especially when there are chronic issues happening mentally, physically, emotionally. It's really like you have to want your health and wellness more than anything. And so I'm wondering what kind of clients do you notice come to you now? And has that changed through your career of doing this as you grow and evolve?
Totally. As I mentioned, maybe 10 years back, I was teaching group fitness. So yoga, then that evolved into boot camp and abs at different gyms in New York City. And I started to get some private yoga clients who are, you know, just folks who were in the corporate environment who had just sat too much, really. You know, they're like this and they wondered why. And I said, hey, pay attention, like the way you're sitting, the way you're carrying your bag, the way, are you sleeping enough? And so I started to get those folks. And then as I started teaching boot camp and started doing personal training, the folks who came to me would be, you know, mid 30s, also kind of corporate environment or had just had a kid. And they were the intense people who prioritize their health. They said, you know what? I had a kid, but I'm going to lose that weight. I don't care. Or, yeah, work is crushing me, but I don't care. I'm going to prioritize my health. I'm going to pay this trainer $100, $125 an hour to do it.
Yeah.
And so these were really intense people, because I was really intense at that time.
I bet, teaching
HIIT classes in New York City. You should have seen me.
So, it sounds awesome.
It's so fun, you know, so fun. And I'm going to get back to it. So those were the people that sought me out. So I think it, as providers, it is sometimes the energy you put out is what you attract. And nowadays, I'm really trying to get more in tune with myself, so not be as intense as I was back then, but be more consistent. And now the people who typically come from therapists as referrals are, you know, late 40s. They've gotten kind of where they want to be with their career and their kids, but then they neglected their health for 20 years, you know, they had some psychological issue that they knew was there, and they kind of tried to figure out, and they've been in therapy for a couple of years, and now they figured out the depression or the anxiety came from their parents, and this is why it developed, and here's how we can ameliorate it and mitigate it and heal it. And then they say, wait a second, I don't want to leave my physical health on the table. What about my sleep? I don't want to be sleeping 5 hours a night. What am I doing? So then they come to me for that. So I think it's interesting how it evolves. And I still think it all relates to your mental state and your emotional state, like you said.
Alex, I do too. And that you're able to, it sounds like people come to you today that maybe necessarily you weren't working with in New York at that other time. And you're mm-hmm. able to really tailor things to them based on their ability, what they want, which I think is so cool because fitness can be intimidating, especially looking like just going to a class and maybe you can't do everything. So it's not enticing to come back because you feel so behind. So I love like the customization that you offer people.
Thank you. And you're right that you go to a class and you might do a few moves that hurt your knee because you haven't worked out in a few months. And you might have been an athlete before, but you've got this nagging back or nagging knee injury. And so a lot of us are walking around with different impairments that we know about. And that's fine. You know, you can heal that back. You can heal that knee, but it's going to involve the food you eat. It's going to involve your sleep. It's sort of all connected. And I could keep going down that path. So I'd love to hear where you think is interesting.
Absolutely, Alex. I want to weave in because I think it's a perfect time to share mm-hmm. Magic Mind and Nativeme supplements. I take that help me if I can bring you back on in just a few minutes. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's a perfect segue to sharing. You know, when Alex was just saying about the food you eat and such, Magic Mind is something I've been drinking for quite a few months now. It's a shot that has a bunch of good things in it, like vitamin C, echinacea, ashwagandha, lion's mane mushrooms. It's a 2-ounce shot, only 15 calories, gluten-free, vegan, paleo. I add it to my smoothie and it really helps take the edge off of anxiety and knowing that I'm getting some of these great supplements that help my body to recover and heal and prevent illness. Magic Mind, they are offering you 56% off a monthly subscription or 20% off a one-time order. Go to the link to learn more about them. And whole food is so important. Most of you know the food we're buying today, the vegetables and fruits do not have the same density of nutrients as they once did. And Juice Plus is something I take to help have whole foods in my body. And I'm not paid to talk about them. I just became a distributor. There's no discount. I just want you to check out Juice Plus, 17 fruits and vegetables that are put in capsules. And there's a link at the bottom of the show note to learn more about them. And I think it's just a great way to get some whole food supplementation into your body that is absorbable. And lastly, a new supplement I'm taking, you might have heard of NAD supplementation. Nativeme is a capsule that has NAD in it. NAD supplementation is typically given intravenously, an IV drip, but Nativeme is one of the first in a capsule that's really potent. It helps the mitochondria of your cells to really replenish the powerhouse of our cells. Good for brain focus, clarity, all kinds of good things. Again, link is in the show notes. And Alex, as I bring you back in, I'm curious if you take any kind of supplements or nutrient boosters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Totally. Take probiotics every morning, the ones that are refrigerated instead of sitting on the shelf. I think that's key. A ton of fermented food. So there's a study that came out of Stanford recently that compared fermented food, a high fermented diet, high fiber, and then just normal standard American. The high fermented folks came back with much lower immune response and they just subjectively reported being much happier. So two or three servings kombucha a day. Really cool study. I'll send it over.
Yeah.
And they had the most advanced lab in the country doing blood work, measuring these immune cells and their response. What else? I take a magnesium that crosses the blood-brain barrier. That's really key for sleep. My girlfriend's gotten me into some other things. So CoQ10 and a bit of fish oil. You know, a lot of folks have heard about fish oil.
Yeah.
Beyond that, I would just say lots of fruits, lots of veggies, some meat, some eggs. So pretty comprehensive diet.
Absolutely. You know, when mm-hmm. you just mentioned sleep, I'm remembering how you also work with people with sleep coaching. Can you share That's about right. that? Because it's so important.
I think, you know, a lot of us, as we get older, we sleep a little bit less. And so it's fine if you go from 8 hours to 7.5 or 7, but if you're at 4 or 5, you might be causing yourself some, you might have increased your chance for Alzheimer's, dementia, or all kinds of chronic metabolic disorders. Now, I'm no doctor, and check that out. I think that's just a general rule to think about, that you need a fair amount of sleep. And sleep's a pretty nuanced topic because it's 8 hours of your day. So it's not a simple thing. However, I think a big part of health communication nowadays, with all the information on the internet, is to keep things simple. And that's what I do with my clients. So if they call me and say, hey, I can't sleep, I throw a wearable onto them. So either an Apple Watch or a Whoop or an Oura Ring, if you've heard of those.
Yeah.
And then we just measure it and we say, hey, we measure 30 days, we get a baseline. And the key thing, Lisa, is measuring your daily behaviors and stacking them up against your sleep. So if you measure how many cups of coffee you drink, and if you drink alcohol, and if you take those supplements we just mentioned, and then you see the correlation, and these wearables do a correlational analysis, you'll see when I drink 3 cups of coffee, my deep sleep goes down by 30%. So all of a sudden, it becomes very obvious, like, don't drink as much coffee. But if we don't have the data, we don't make the change as easily. And so I'm really big on wearables and data with my clients.
I think that's so cool that you're able to track them and help them really make change where it's necessary, and not just kind of throwing something at the wall and seeing if it sticks.
And that's how I differentiate between other health coaches, because I think everyone could be a little healthier. We all know our own habits, but it's the accountability, it's the measurable data, and it's taking action, right? If you could take action by yourself, you wouldn't call me, right? I mean, and that's the reality of it. I hate to be harsh, and I don't try to keep people for 2 years. I say, I'm going to teach you to fish. You're going to feel great. Let's set some specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-bound goals. So SMART goals.
Yeah.
And let's get there. And let's try to get on base. Let's hit a single. You know, we don't necessarily need to turn you from, you don't need to lose 50 pounds tomorrow. You know, let's just see how we do. How would it feel to lose 10 pounds, to feel better, to exercise a bit, to feel in control? And that's it. And it's not always about weight loss either, Lisa. It's just about feeling in control of your life and thinking that you have agency and believing you have agency. And that's, again, just bringing it back to the subject of the podcast, which is all things therapy and mental health. Yeah.
And Alex, will you share, what is your ALH system that you created?
My system really involves a very comprehensive review of your health with very specific goals and very specific defined outcomes. So somebody comes to me, we throw a wearable on them, we run a blood test on them, we run maybe a genetic test on them. I make sure they see a functional medicine doctor before they see me. And I make sure they have a therapy consult, right?
Wow.
Once you've got all that, I've got a baseline of like who you are, what you're struggling with. Then I interview you and I say, hey, where do you want to get in this period of time? What worked for you in the past? Because a lot of people have really successful practices. Mm-hmm. And then what do you hate? Like if you hate pushups or if you love coffee so much, there's no way you're giving it up, then we're going to work around that. You know,
okay.
If you love your glass of wine at night, have your glass of wine at night. I'll tell you the science of why that's maybe not the best idea. But I get a real good baseline on people, both data driven and qualitative. And then we meet 3 times a week for 15 minutes. They sign up to my app. They get my exercises, my meal plans, all of my action items, my goals. You know, if it means getting blackout curtains, I tell them, go talk to your wife about the blackout curtains. Then next week I say, hey, did you talk to your wife? And then we get where we need to be, you know? So that's it.
Awesome.
Keep it really simple. Yeah. Thank you.
I feel like it's complex and really thorough. The functional medicine doctor, a therapist, I've never heard that used, like this really comprehensive, and the accountability and giving people homework that's going to create long-term change, like doing the things you just mentioned, investing in those practices. It's like long-term for your health and wellness.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a quick fix. And it's simple in the sense that I try to keep it simple for my clients. So I'm not going to write them paragraphs. I'm just going to write them, do this, this, and this, something we agreed on. I'm going to follow up with you next week. Great. See you then. I keep it professional. But ultimately, you know, there is a lot that goes into health, and it is comprehensive, but not complex. You know, I think if everybody added 10 minutes a day of stretching to their routine, everyone would feel better. No one's ever said, I feel worse after stretching. So it's a simple thing to do. But like you said, it's comprehensive because it accumulates over time. So it is long term in that sense. Yeah.
Yeah. And then your podcast, The Green Pill. Mm-hmm. How did that come about for you?
Well, exactly that story about my mom, you know, where I was able to get through that. You know, it's a really, really hard thing, objectively speaking. And with the right support, I was privileged enough to have therapy and have a supportive family, have a roof over my head, have some money for college. I was able to get through that. And then after that experience, I looked around at my family and I said, wait a minute, you guys are not the healthiest. What are we doing here? You know, I don't want to go through this again. You don't want to go, like, why are we repeating these intergenerational health patterns?
Yes. So
I said, but then they said, well, they said, Alex, I know you're become a health nut and that's great for you, but we don't want to hear it. And you and I spoke about this, you know, a couple of weeks ago. And so the Green Pill podcast idea is to figure out, as, you know, health providers, how do we talk about health with those around us? And just as normal people, how do you tell your partner, or how do you tell your parent that, hey, it might be time to go see the neurologist, or you seem a little off, like you seem a little down. How do you have that conversation? Because it's not always easy. So you had some amazing, amazing actionable tips, as well as just anecdotes from your own life that I can't wait to share. So that's how the podcast came about, just from my personal desire to really get that message of health out there.
And Alex, is there something coming up that you're excited about that you're creating or intend to create at some point? Like when you look down the road in every area of your life, just things you're excited about.
I think just like a lot of us aligning really daily and weekly, like, hey, what do I want to do? And what's not serving me? The ALH system, the podcast is all coming together. You know, being remote with my work is great. And really just telling more stories and making sure I'm really being present with my narrative and getting the best narratives from other people and saying, I really want to make a difference in the world and reorienting to my why. You know, my friend Andres Prichel, who's also a health coach, who has a podcast who I should introduce you to as well. He says, start with why. And it's a golden rule from someone else, which we can link. And once you get back to your why did I become a therapist? And you told your story so beautifully on my podcast. And for me, it's why did I become someone that helps people with their health? And now you know. And so when I get distracted or there's a shiny object or I want to go in the opposite direction, I say, wait a minute, I'm here to help people just feel better, feel more in control of their lives. So I'm just excited to keep reconnecting to that.
I love that. And I sense too, finding new ways to do that for others and yourself that reflect you and what you're learning and what you're able to offer, like that feedback loop.
Exactly. I'm like really refining that, like as if it was a manufacturing process. So there's going to be like a light version, which is a little cheaper. There's going to be a medium version. Then there's going to be the VIP concierge version. But I want to make health accessible and I want to make it repeatable and simple and easy, like you said. So I'm really excited to just keep working that system, keep making it better.
That's awesome. And I know in the beginning, we started with yoga, where you shared your story in New York. And yoga has come back into my life in the last six months. And I'm a retired fitness teacher. I taught spin class for about 15 years. And I've done 3 half Ironman triathlons and like 16 half marathons and all kinds, like probably hundreds of 5 and 10 Ks. And so my body over the years, and weightlifting, I've loved weightlifting and CrossFit. And I had a stint for a few years doing yoga. And then I did it too much. I can be extreme. So I did like 90 days of hot yoga in a row and just burn out and was like, kind of like, fuck yoga. Like, oh my gosh, I just, you know, and put it away until in the last couple of years, I've gotten some, you even alluded to ailments like aches and pains that started to impede my ability to lift weights and do the things I love physically. And I went to an acupuncturist here in LA and he suggested yoga. And I had been thinking of it, like I felt like my body was saying you need yoga. And I was like, okay, well, let's do it this time in a more healthy way, not a class every day that you burn out. And yoga, it's been the best thing to come back to yoga. And like you were that teacher, you said people are like, thank you. Like I thank I love my teachers because they help me to bring myself physically, emotionally, spiritually. I have spiritual experiences in yoga, just stretching. Like you said, I feel like sometimes I get emotional because I know it can release, you know, emotions in the body, certain poses and holding them. And I notice the slower when we have to hold a pose longer, I start to feel very frustrated. And it's like interesting insight into my psychology. And I think there's so much that yoga teaches us about our thoughts, about how we move through life. And so being back at yoga at the studio Hot 8 here in LA, I love my teachers. I love everything. So I appreciate you being a yoga teacher because it's really helped me to change my life for the better and my mind.
It sounds like you're loving it, you know, being back, even if there's a bit of initial, like you had to hear it from a couple sources, but those, you were hearing it a couple times in your life and then you came back, and even if you're getting emotional a bit and like you're doing it differently. And I think that's probably exciting too. Like in a new way, you're doing it in a new way. It's not the old yoga, you know, it's a new Lisa or a different Lisa.
It is like making it sustainable. Yeah. Absolutely. Like versus really, and I love like throwing myself in something and getting to know everything about it. But I've learned when I do that, I tend to burn out at some point versus let's go to 2 or 3 classes a week versus 6 and then walk on other days, lift weights on others. It's made my weightlifting more beneficial. I feel fresher and stronger doing that a few times a week versus every day. Like my muscles weren't elongating. They were actually shortening, and I was getting weaker rather than stronger because I was lifting too frequently. So just, you know, realigning how health for me is looking like today. It's been pretty awesome, though it was daunting at first.
I bet. I didn't know you taught spin. That's so cool. You definitely have. I'm sure you sent some real energy into those classes.
I did. There was energy. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. There's F-bombs and energy.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Like, yeah, fucking pick it up. Like, yeah.
What's your spin? What's your spin music? I'm curious.
Like, is DJ, it like DJ, dance DJ music? Stuff. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah. What was your music?
Yeah. Similar. Definitely DJ dance music.
Like high energy.
Yes.
I still listen to that when I work out. Yes. Yes.
Totally. Yeah. I wonder, I just so curious with when you work out, you do the DJ dance music and it gets you going, right?
It does, but sometimes I work out without music when I feel like I need a connection to my body. Like there, if there's a lot on my mind, sometimes I feel like music would be the worst thing. Like I'm not present. And I've, in the past, I've injured myself like that, not being present. And so I'm really more conscious of my body. And like, so there's sometimes I don't listen to music at all, which surprises me because I never used to be able to do that. And other days when I do. How about you?
Same thing. I'm going through the same thing where I used to be music every workout. Love it. It would really get me in the zone and probably like a coffee shot. And now I realized also kind of I got to tune in. And if there was no music there, would I still be able to do it? And I'm trying to retrain my brain in a way and just David Goggins. Do you know David Goggins, that runner guy, former Navy SEAL? You like Goggins? Yeah. So he's like, well, would there be music if you're running from a bear? I can't do a great Goggins accent right now. Sounds like a little bitch without the music, you know? You know, the videos where he's running. Yes. Oh man, he's great.
He's
so
awesome.
I was inspired by him not to listen to music when I work out. Cause you get that dopamine hit and that like feeling of doing the same thing repeatedly, like teaching spin for 15 years. I taught HIIT classes for so long that you turn on the music, you start teaching, you start feeling really good. And I'm like, huh, I wonder if I can change the way I feel and still get that good feeling from a different vibe. So I don't know. I'm curious on your take on it as a psychologist.
You know, I know now, like when I'm working on something new, like I'm committed to doing really like my reverse lunge, separate leg reverse lunges and like increasing the weight. And I, you know, like my balance can be a little off. And I find that with music, it's just too much. Like I want no distraction. And like I've been able to increase to like 35 pounds and practicing like above my head, like holding weight above my head, like really core balance.
Yeah.
And I feel like I don't want music with that because it's so like precarious. Like I feel like, you know, when something you're on the edge, like it's not comfortable yet and like you're getting it, but it's like, I really want my full presence because I feel a little scared sometimes, like stepping back. I don't want to hurt my knees or anything, as well as doing about like a Bosu ball, turning it upside down and doing
bouncing
like squats. No, like turning it upside down so the flat side is up and the round is on the floor, and doing like taking a bar and doing squats with the like instability of the ball. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like with that, I usually don't want music because it's like, so I'm really concentrating on like being stable.
Yeah.
So I kind of like that because it like absorbs you in the moment so much. And I think that's when we're really kind of like being transformed. It's like, you're really in that moment. Like I'm not thinking of what's coming later or before. you know, and I think it's hard to find those moments where we're really absorbed in it. I think we have to like create those. How about you?
I would agree. I think interestingly, probably using the music is probably to be in those moments initially. Like that's what we were using the music for, is to tune in to our, to not anything else, just what's happening in that moment. But the music was the precursor for us to get in that focused, maybe even flow state. And
flow state.
Now, I've been learning a little bit about flow state. I don't know if it's something you think about.
And, absolutely.
And you probably coach your clients on.
Yeah.
Now, when you do no music, I think it gets you that same present place, but you're not using the external stimuli. So you can then, I imagine that being in that silent space probably would carry over better to quote unquote normal life than, you know, blasting EDM in your ears. Because even though like I love that energy too.
Yeah.
But it's like maybe that folk, like maybe having the silence here and the silence at that other time probably aligns you better to perform in other parts of your life or to chill out in other parts of your life.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just speculating. Yeah.
No, I love this conversation, Alex. So I'd love to have you on in the future as well. And I want to share with listeners, your website is alexloveshealth.com.
Exactly. Yeah.
On Instagram, you're at alexlovescardio.
Yeah.
Which
that's
made
a little
me laugh.
Older. Really it's a little older. I still
really
love cardio.
Okay.
I do. I'm like, I could just run and jump and bounce and dance forever. So yeah.
I sense still it feels true. Like play for you. Like you're playing.
So yeah, exactly. You know, it's so fun. I don't know what I like about it so much, but that's me. So I'm Alex Loves Health on website, Alex Loves Cardio on Instagram. And what else? The Green Pill Podcast will be coming out soon with you. So
awesome.
Catch that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for taking your time today with us, Alex.
Thank you so much, Lisa. It was so cool. I was looking forward to this and it was so
me
fun
too.
And also deep. So that was good.
Yes.
And I can't wait to see you when I'm in LA or New Orleans this year.
Me too. And me seeing you as well. I see that happening.
Yeah, same.
Awesome. To be continued.
Mwah. All right. Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. See you.
That concludes today's show with Alan Shenkorovsky of the Green Pill Podcast. Learn more about him, alexloveshealth.com. Everything else we talked about, all of my love to you, and I look forward to hearing from you. Let me know what you think about the show, guests you want me to interview, topics you want me to cover. Lisa@nolatherapy.com is my email, and rate and review this podcast, please, on the platform that you're listening to. Bye.
And that's a wrap. Thank you. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review All Things Therapy on the platform you're listening from. And let's connect on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at NOLA Therapy, the abbreviation for New Orleans, Los Angeles Therapy, reflecting my two favorite cities. And let's keep changing consciousness one conversation at a time.
My little brother's friends have been camped out at our place for 2 days straight.
Three.
It's because of the Xfinity 10G network. Internet that can handle a house full of screens at once with like basically no interruptions. And it's only getting faster. When I was their age, internet like this was a pipe dream.
You sound like my grandpa.
Please go home.
Introducing the next generation 10G network, only from Xfinity. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.